these people are so incompetent and inept that they will stumble in, us into some public health disaster or some world war. But the good news is they're losing on the info war, they're losing the economic war, they're losing the political war, and ultimately they're going to lose completely. It's just a matter of time. And the more desperate they are, the more desperate they sound. That is the siren song of ultimate victory for people who love freedom and liberty in the world.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
But a good friend of mine and a guy that's been so busy, I've been able to get him on in months, is Robert Barnes. People are like, where's Robert Barnes? Robert Barnes is busy, but he joins us now. Man, he's been kicking ass on exposing Ukraine and the economy and the inflation and what's going to happen with Biden. So I usually ask the questions, but I'm just going to tell Barnes, you got a laundry list, brother, and we got a lot of folks tuned in tonight. I want you to just have the floor. But first off, you've been involved for years as a consultant and watching this and seeing this. Am I exaggerating? Because you've seen our financials. You helped us, you know, produce them. What is your view on them claiming I'm going to the feds to rat everybody out that's not true, that I've got $60, $80 million, what do you make of all this and these double defaults that they've not even announced where they're saying I can't talk? My lawyers are literally going to wear duct tape over their faces. What do you make of just this unprecedented move, and what does it signify to you, my friend?
Sure. I mean, it's a lawfare at a different scale. It's a lawfare at a different level, because what you have are people that some of whom suffered a tragedy, who are placing blame for that tragedy on someone and something that had nothing to do with the tragedy. And instead of blaming the school system that failed to provide adequate safety measurements, instead of blaming the psychological industry that has basically, big pharma has just, you know, flooded young disturbed kids with medications that can and often does make them worse off. Rather than deal with any of those broader cultural phenomena or a Hollywood that celebrates and glorifies certain kinds of violence targeting young, vulnerable minds, instead, they are blaming the independent news broadcast that has produced and published more independent information to challenge and contest institutional narratives and help predict and preview what happened with the lockdowns, what happened with the stolen election, what happened with bogus wars. InfoWars has been the tip of the spear at warning about the World Health Organization, at warning about Bill Gates, at warning about George Soros, at warning about the globalist agenda to strip ordinary people of their sovereignty over their economy, over their own personal health, over their own well-being, over their own education, to the degree they want to send in groomers to our kindergartens and at Disney World. So this is the way they have targeted someone that has nothing to do with what they are describing. And the legal process could not afford ever a trial on the merits. A trial on the merits, even a liberal Austin jury, even a liberal Connecticut jury would conclude, based on the evidence, that you are not guilty and InfoWars is not guilty of what they've been accused of. And they couldn't afford that. And so they came up with a fictional, fabricated, mythical version of the facts. The media propagated this fake news story all the way through that was never true. That could not be consistent with or be corroborated by actual evidence. And so for those purposes, they had to pretend that you hid the evidence that never existed. So rather than admit the evidence disproved their claims, they pretended there was some secret evidence out there that had magically disappeared. And even though InfoWars produced more documents, more invasive information, more private information, more emails, more messages, even including everything that went into the spam box, than anybody has ever had to produce in the history of anti-SLAPP cases, in the history of anti-SLAPP motions. They denied InfoWars and every defendant, not just Alex Jones, but InfoWars, every InfoWars entity that they sued, Owen Schroyer, they denied everybody the means to even file a motion to dismiss. But they weren't satisfied with that. Then, after all of this invasive, unprecedented, unparalleled discovery, getting information that most courts would never have allowed them to turn over, never would have required to be turned over, the New York Times sure hasn't had to turn it over in its lawsuits involving Project Veritas. The courts rushed in to protect the New York Times, whereas they've rushed in to punish Alex Jones and InfoWars. after producing over a million pieces of information, most of which never should have had to be disclosed and disgorged, after hours and hours and days of deposition. The average case, you only get 1 7-hour deposition. You don't get days and days and days of depositions of the same party. After then denying the right to bring a motion to dismiss, denying the right to bring a First Amendment anti-slap motion, then said, you know what? You can't even present any evidence at trial as to your innocence. You are effectively gagged like Bobby Seale in the Chicago 7 trial. You are basically prohibited and limited from being able to present any of the exculpatory evidence that proves and documents and demonstrates not only your factual innocence, but your legal innocence under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, the right of the freedom of press, the right of the freedom of speech.
Barnes, you know, it says in here, and the judge signed off, we cannot mention the First Amendment.
Precisely, because the First Amendment is a complete defense in this case. And that's why they don't want the jury to know about it. And even a liberal jury pool in Austin, even a liberal jury pool in Connecticut would recognize these facts, would recognize this is a classic.
Well, let me ask you this. Why are they so desperate? Why are they so crazy? I mean.
Well, if you were about to launch one of the biggest stolen elections in American history, if you were about to launch one of the most destabilizing wars since World War II, if you were about to launch one of the most bogus pandemics to induce massive lockdowns and control over people's populations in history, then you cannot have a unimpeached independent media network that is the biggest and most powerful independent media network in the world being able to reach everyone they wanted to reach, being able to have people hear them and get the accurate information, and being able to present that information without a cloud of scandal surrounding it. So the goal is to tell people, you better not listen to Alex Jones. You better not listen to InfoWars. Don't worry, that pandemic's a real pandemic. We really need that lockdown. Don't worry, the Russians are really bad. We really need to think about nuclear war against Russia. Don't worry, there was no election stolen. It was just fortified, as Newsweek and Time put it. They needed, and don't listen to whatever you're doing to Alex Jones and InfoWars, because they have something to do with some crazy guy doing something terrible 10 years ago in Connecticut. That's why they had to do, it was a mass smear campaign. It was lawfare to try to force you into bankruptcy, but also lawfare for the purposes of smearing your association and affiliation so that ordinary people who might hear your voice don't listen to the message, so they don't know what's really happening with the pandemic, don't know what's really happening with the election, don't know what's really happening with global war.
Wow, you're always on fire, but you are 100% dead on. So looking at this and then moving away from how they're attacking InfoWars, they're attacking the American people. Biden shutting off the pipelines, opening the borders, getting rid of medical checks at the border, saying if a man shows up with two kids, don't even check their ID, just let them in. I mean, the criminal level of action. And then CNN spends $300 million on CNN Plus, totally fails. Netflix, Disney in trouble. The whole globalist system is collapsing. Clearly, they're trying to take us with them. Where do you see this going, Robert Barnes? Because it's just madness. It's just like, why did Hitler attack England and North Africa and Poland and the Russians? I mean, it's just like, why? Why did you just build highways and cars and turn your... I mean, it's the same thing. Like, why are they attacking everybody and our speech and censoring? Clearly, they're not going to win in the end, but the question is, what's going to be left after they've done this?
Well, I think it's two different factors going on. Globalists love control more than anything else. So everything's about control, control, control. It's this sort of managerial class's obsession with engineering the world, socially engineering, culturally engineering, economically engineering the world. And they're so driven by that psychopathology, they can't help themselves. The second part of it is they're increasingly removed. I describe it as they're very much like the communists of the late 1970s, early 1980s, who don't realize their system is collapsing all around them, don't realize the Russian knight is dying inside of its own armor, to quote Russia House. So because that obliviousness is an inherent flaw in the managerial class. They always seek to control and monopolize so much of the means of narrative distribution, because that's what the war on InfoWars is about. Control the narrative, control the story. Don't allow honest storytellers to reach the ordinary person. Don't allow that person to understand understand and appreciate the information they're being given. That is the reason why InfoWars exists, is its audience. It's not Alex Jones, the individual. It's the audience that fuels it, the audience that not only makes it able to
exactly. It's that populist meeting place they fear.
Absolutely. And they've got to prevent that populist meeting place at all costs. And they don't realize they're losing. They don't realize, I mean, they really thought they were going to take out Putin in Russia. They didn't realize, you know, Putin believes resources are power. He's culturally conservative. He's religiously conservative. He's the Trump of Russia. You can disagree with Putin, but the person who hates Putin the most
Putin
is George
says
Soros.
Culture, you know, energy and food, which is exactly.
Correct. And what he's done is he's the globalist thought, if we control the international monetary system at the top, we control the financial system, we can use economic sanctions to discipline anybody to so that they always obey us. And they're shocked that it hasn't worked against Russia or the Russian people. They're people shocked that when
what are they going to do? The ruble's above the dollar for the first time in history. Everybody's leaving. I mean, and people think, well, the globalists are doing it on purpose. I don't think they are. They just can't stop. No.
Correct. And they never imagined this. What happens when you create safe space cultures where you don't listen, where you're so obsessed with suppressing people from hearing Alex Jones that you yourself don't hear Alex Jones? The consequence is you live in such a small bubbled world that you don't know the real world. These are like the people that were shocked the night Trump won. I mean, they can't believe that Putin is being successful. That's why they tell themselves fancy lies like Snake Island and the ghost of Kiev. And, you know, we have a coked up, you know, wag the dog president there in Ukraine. And we're pretending he's some George Washington. He's the next Winston Churchill. This is delusional. And it's so delusional. Ukrainian soldiers, when they get caught, are shocked because they didn't realize they've been losing in that part of the Donbass. So, and this is happening across the globe. They don't realize they're, you have Barack Obama making a speech about, hey, look, we experimented on 1 billion+ people with this vaccine and it turned out great. Well, ask all the athletes that are dropping dead right on the field. So the ordinary person knows more and more people. The ordinary person knows somebody within 6 degrees of separation of them that has experienced an adverse event in response to this vaccine. And yet Obama is so clueless about it, he thinks it's something to campaign on, is this vaccine, whose unpopularity just intensifies and deepens and broadens around the globe. These are people that the scariest thing about them is their incompetence, because they could stumble us and bumble us
you're right. I'm horrified by these geriatrics and these crazy globalists that have all these behavioral psychologists, but like 100 different groups. And they're not even coordinating, and they're just blasting everything with disinfo and lies. And then they're burning down, but we're burning down with it. And I'm like, stop. What do you predict is going to happen?
The good news is, because of audiences like InfoWars audience keeping InfoWars afloat and alive, which wasn't supposed to happen. InfoWars was supposed to be gone. Alex Jones was supposed to be gone. All of this was supposed to be gone. Because it failed, because they weren't able to break up the power of the people that are the true fuel of it. In the same way that oil and commodities and rare earth minerals and wheat are the real fuel of Russia's economy that could not be broken by the globalists, the minds and the spirit and the soul of ordinary everyday people that fuel the engine of InfoWars could not be shut down and silenced. And consequently, more people know today about these fake wars. More people know today about these bad lockdowns. More people know today that 2020 was stolen than ever would have or could have otherwise. They cannot keep it contained. They cannot destroy the backbone of the American Republic, which
totally
is
agree.
The ordinary
and Netflix
person.
Imploding and CNN imploding. How did CNN think no one wants to watch them? Their average show is 80,000 viewers. We probably got millions watching right now. How did they think that people would then pay for it and arrogantly CNN make fun of Netflix's problems this week while they're imploding 100 times worse? I mean, Netflix still has hundreds of millions of viewers. Netflix still has all these productions. I mean, they're a total 20 levels above CNN that is a total joke. Yes, they're falling apart. Yeah, people are tired of the wokeism, but Netflix is still in the game. CNN makes fun of them while they're imploding. The destruction of CNN at their own hand is emblematic of the delusion of these people. And I agree with you. It's horrifying that they aren't self-aware.
Completely. Because, I mean, the risk is that they stumble us into a nuclear conflict. The risk is that they stumble us into some true economic disaster. That the risk is that they get enough people to take a vaccine that it leads to massive health problems around the globe. That's the risk of these people's incompetence. They're like the communists who, you know, Mao got his great leap forwards kept leading to mass starvation. The same thing happened in Russia, not once, but twice, happened in the 1920s and again in the 1930s, mass famines across the Soviet Union. So that's the risk. These people are so incompetent and inept that they will stumble us into some public health disaster or some world war. But the good news is they're losing the info war, they're losing the economic war, they're losing the political war, and ultimately they're going to lose completely. It's just a matter of time. And the more desperate they are, the more desperate they sound, that is a siren song of ultimate victory for people who love freedom and liberty in the world.
I totally agree, man. It's always, you got to come back. You got to come on more, Robert. You're amazing. Let's expand on this. This is a selfish question, but I really want to pick your brain. New York Times articles, others say Jones is reaching out to the feds and wants to tell what happened. He's going to turn state's evidence. Well, nothing happened. I wasn't involved in anything. I have nothing to tell them. Plus, I didn't do that. They keep wanting to meet with us, and I said, okay, give me immunity and a list of questions and drop your fake charges on Owen Schroyer, who they say attacked the Capitol and doesn't work at InfoWars in his indictment. And then it's in the New York Times front page. Jones is going to rat out what they really did. I mean, that is so sophomoric. And you add that on the back of Whitmer and all that coming out, that it was provocateur and the not guilty and the mistrial. I mean, it's just bizarre that they're going forward. So why do you think, literally, folks, if you do Alex Jones Google News, over 1,000 articles saying, I am going to come out and expose Trump for January 6th. Just preposterous. I didn't talk to Trump. There's nothing to say. They know that. So what do you see that as?
I mean, I think it's their belief that they can continue to spin this fake narrative about January 6th because they have a fixed judiciary that's mostly corrupt, that's not able to be impartial in D.C., that the only cases worse than January 6th in terms of judicial bias and prejudice have been the InfoWars cases. I mean, I would cite them if I was teaching a law school class. This is what judicial bias looks like. This is what the incapacity to be independent looks like. These cases are not really embarrassing to InfoWars as much as they are embarrassing to the lack of independence in our judiciary. And they speak volumes to it. And that's true of the January 6th cases. I mean, you have judges who have admitted the legal charges against many of the January 6th cases do not even meet legal self-sufficiency, the very basic elements. They have to be dismissed at the motion to dismiss stage. And yet other judges are letting people get convicted of this fake crime. And as we discussed in the lead up to this, the great concern was the government being up to some sort of shenanigan. The reality is your presence there led to fewer people going in, not more people going in. And if we had known what QAnon was up to, if we had known that Pelosi and the D.C. mayor were standing down the National Guard, were taking Capitol Police off of security control, we're going to have Capitol Police, as people have testified to already in criminal trials, wave people in to the what happened. Then none of that would have happened. It happened because of Nancy Pelosi. It happened because of the mayor of D.C. It happened because of Mitch McConnell. It happened because of the seventh floor at the FBI. It happened because of QAnon being a government-based movement. And these are things they don't want to talk about. I mean, why is it that this January 6th committee that's so interested in the truth has failed to issue a single subpoena to anything related to QAnon? Why aren't they curious what the federal government has on QAnon? Why aren't they curious about what the FBI has on QAnon?
Well, exactly. If I got the proffer with them, I'm going to ask them about Ray Epps and all. They had 1,000 armed secret FBI there, and they want to ask me what happened? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like asking a kid at Christmas morning who Santa Claus is. It's like Santa Claus going, who is Christmas, young boy? It's like they literally ran the show, and then they're asking me what happened.
It's asking someone who was the victim of their attempted entrapment about the entrapment. The entrapment is what the federal agents were doing. The entrapment is what the Capitol Police were doing. And the reality is they thought, because they misunderstood, they had been busy watching Showtime's version of you, they thought you would rush in there instead of rushing up to tell people to get out of there. To asking the Capitol Police to broadcast you telling people to get out of there. You saved a lot of people's lives that day by your actions, and you weren't supposed to, because their script had you being this fictional caricature rather than being the populist icon that you are. And they couldn't deal with that. They still can't deal with that. So they're still in fake script land rather than real world land, when the real author of the January 6th script is some folks at the seventh floor at the FBI.
I agree. So Barnes, come back with me this week. You've been hard to get on. You used to come on a lot. Where have you been? I've been trying to get you on for months.
Oh, yeah. Well, I finally have some more free time. We've been in the middle of representing the whistleblower and the big pharma cases against the vaccine, representing Children's Health Defense, trying to end the vaccine mandate or vaccine authorization for children and the vaccine authorization for
that's
soldiers.
Important. That's important work. Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry, but the, the.
No, but let me raise that.
Yesterday,
you're
I just got
a leading expert on the COVID power grab. Just give us a gestalt of what it is. I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to be listening, hearing my audio piece. I'm going to hit the boys' room while I'm listening to you. I got my earpiece here. It's wireless. I want to hear what you think about the COVID power grab, what happened post-mortem, why they backed off, what's coming next, new lockdowns. We know they're getting planned because you are one of the most articulate people, I mean, probably the most, other than like Robert Kennedy Jr. I think you're probably the most articulate on that. I love Reimer Fulmick. He's amazing as well, but what happened with COVID and what's coming next, Robert Barnes?
So, I mean, ultimately, they use the pandemic as a pretext to engage in mass control. And this is about mass control at a core level. This is why Bill Gates has been involved in this for almost 20 years. His father was a big Planned Parenthood guy. Grandfather was a eugenics-connected guy. There's a reason why he says, why does he like vaccines? Because he believes it will reduce the public population, reduce the world population. These are people that are fundamentally about control. You know, why does he invest in technology that involves global digital currency that with a chip that can go into your body, that also invests in a chip that can monitor your health, a chip that will have all your private medical records and financial information on it, and a chip that might have vaccine information on it? Because that chip can be used to control you. It's global control, and he's sort of one of the leading spokespersons for it. You can go back to his 2009 meeting where he was called a superhero because the meeting leaked thanks to a good maid. An honest maid said, what is George Soros, David Rockefeller, Bill Gates, Oprah, and all these other Bill and Bloomberg sitting around talking about? They were talking about how to control the world, global control, control at the micro level and at the macro level. And that's what this was all about, but they need emergencies and excuses to do it. Just like, well, why do we create a criminal justice system that perpetrates a permanent criminal class? Because that justifies the police. No crime, no police. Why do we keep creating enemies around the world, sometimes real, sometimes fake, but often because of our instigation, our infiltration, our involvement, our support? Because again, no enemy, no war. The war machine needs enemies. In order to justify war, just as the state needs crime in order to justify police control of its own populations. In the same context, emergencies like public health emergencies justify and rationalize this managerial class's monopoly on power. In other words, what does Cuba say makes their government so great? They stopped COVID from coming to Cuba. Why is there another lockdown in Shanghai where people are spending their nights screaming from the balcony, begging for food, sacrificing their animals rather than being able to survive another day or just to survive another day? Because China's managerial class says, we stopped COVID. And we stopped him with these extreme control policies. We need to control you in order to stop this terrible disease. We need to have this massive power in order to keep you safe. And that's the mindset of these groups. And that's what they did. And the vaccines were just part of it. It was the natural, logical extension of it. That's why Alex and I and others and Robert Bobby Kennedy were talking about it from day one. We're saying this is their objective. This is their goal. They want total control. And what bigger, better control is there than putting something in your body that ultimately can be used to control you and things like chips? But here we had an mRNA vaccine, not just any vaccine, an mRNA vaccine. So to get you conditioned to accept the state sticking in your body, whatever they want. And if you don't own your own body, what do you own? We're back to the era of eugenics, and it's not a coincidence they cited eugenics era court decisions as their legal basis for this massive power grab. But they had to do it in hiding because all the big drug companies knew their product likely didn't work because there's never been a successful coronavirus vaccine in history, because there's never been a successful mRNA vaccine in history. So here they were doing both. And so how are they going to sell it to the ordinary person? How are they going to sucker the ordinary person into doing it? Well, the drug companies weren't going to do it if they were on the hook. So they demanded that everything be done under emergency use authorization. So this emergency, which started out as 2 weeks to flatten the curve, became 2 years to control your life. And that's what they did. In fact, to this day, here, the FDA has approved a biologic licensed drug for both vaccines, for Moderna and Pfizer. And yet, That Pfizer FDA-approved drug, the Moderna FDA biologic licensed approved drug, is still not available in the United States of America. Instead, the only thing that's available is the emergency use authorized drug. Why is that? Because the emergency use authorized drug has complete immunity from suit. There's some folks out there that think you can sue them for willful misconduct. Unfortunately, the answer is no. You can only sue them for willful misconduct if the government agrees with you. That's the little loophole. That's the little footnote. That's the little exception. So consequently, you as an ordinary person have no remedy. Insurance companies are denying insurance coverage because they're saying, hey, this was an experimental drug. Employers are denying workers' compensation coverage, saying, hey, you chose to get it. So that's the even when there was a mandate in place. So you have all the risk and they have all the reward. And what we're seeing is the real risk health-wise initially, the fear, concern was long tail risk because we don't know what would happen with an mRNA vaccine. We've never had a successful coronavirus vaccine. This was a novel technology. The concern was that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road for this untested vaccine for that kind of length of time, for this kind of virus, for this kind of drug, would have all kinds of unanticipated horrible health effects. But now we've had horrible health effects within 3 months, within 6 months, within a year of people getting this. We're seeing extraordinary rates. We have blown through every limit that ever existed for public health consequences, adverse consequences to any vaccine. We've broken all the records, and it's the wrong records that we've been breaking. And the consequence is we see the athletes dropping dead. We see the excess mortality rate went up 40% in certain categories of people right after they took the
vaccine.
And
that's from major insurance companies. So let me ask you this. This is the most powerful interview ever, Barnes. The whole crew is just blown away by everything you're saying. It's totally true. I'm going to re-air this Sunday. I'll have plenty to say, but we're going to air this interview Sunday in the second hour of the Sunday Live Show. I'll be there in the first hour, but people have got to hear this. Obviously, they were scared of Trump and populism and Bolsonaro and others and Orban. And they admitted they did all this. Trump, I believe, you know him well, means well. He got suckered into it. Doesn't mean he's wrong. At least he's not promoting this gene therapy shot now. But regardless, it blew up in their face. They've had to back off at least for a time when they intended to have the lockdown go forever, obviously. So how would you describe the world right now geopolitically with what's happening? Because the globalists are failing on every front. They've got incompetent minions they want to run in charge because they don't want to have a real president or somebody that wants to be their own person. So their own attempts to have no one in charge because they're in charge, but they're not in charge, is the real danger. And I mean, I just see major problems here. You know, they think we want to be the new aristocrats. They think we're battling for freedom because we want to be king. Like when they offered George Washington to be king, he said, no, I don't want to be king. And King George III finally woke up and put the American flag up and then said, okay, you know, George Washington is the greatest man in the world because he beat them and then he didn't take the power. People don't know that when George Washington died, they ran American flags up in the UK, in England, because they thought they would double cross with the British, use that to parlance to take over the Caribbean. And no, George Washington did that. He said, no, we wanted freedom. We don't want to be in power. We don't want to run people. We want to empower people. And that idea, not that America's perfect, but that idea of empowering the people has been the example of the world. And globalism is just new feudalism, new corporate royalty. And they just don't get it. And so I'm just so concerned that, yeah, humanity's waking up, but these globalists are doubling and tripling and quadrupling down, and I think they're going to destroy the damn planet in the process. I mean, how do we get to them to just say, listen, you already stole everything. You can even own it. Just stop trying to mess us up. Stop trying to neutralize humanity and dumb us down so you don't have competition. How do we just get them out of this suicidal path they're on?
I think that's going to be the trick, because I've described it as that we have a kind of elite that's like the elites leading up to World War I. You know, the British Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the French Empire, the emerging Prussian Empire, the existing Russian Empire, many of which had been going for centuries, 3 centuries, 4 centuries, 6 centuries, 7 centuries. I mean, the Habsburg were, you know, were on a family tree that didn't branch at all. It's why their jaws, you know, were jutted out 6 ways to Sunday. But they were so accustomed to power and control, they couldn't imagine a world where they lost it. And within about 6 years, 6 empires that had lasted in some cases 600 years or more were gone off the face of the planet Earth. And that's because their elites were completely clueless and incompetent. They were very much let them eat cake kind of crowd of Marie Antoinette, who herself was a Habsburg. So the you have that kind of history and that dynamic that we have with our current elites. This globalist empire elite is coming to the to its end. And the ones that are cognizant of it are going to act like the desperate throes of a dying empire do, which is dangerous. I mean, usually these empires lose with sudden economic collapse, complete cultural collapse, or total war.
Exactly. And they didn't have nuclear weapons before. So we can have total war and kill 100 million people. We can't do that now because there's nuclear weapons and bioweapons and God knows what else.
Exactly. That's why we have to continue to advocate in the court of public opinion. It's why it's so essential and fundamental that people keep places like InfoWars afloat and alive, because it's a critical, essential a voice in the wilderness to keep people on the path. Look at what happened in Ohio. J.D. Vance took the position of being against the war, said we don't need to get further involved, opposed it. He went from a distant fifth place to now being in first. And that's because he took the bold, noble stand. And one of the people he was listening to was Alex Jones in InfoWars. Blake Masters took a similar stand. Joe Kent in the state of Washington running for Congress took a similar stand. This Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Thomas Massey, Paul Gosar all took similar stands. Why? Because they are listening to the voice that is the people, the voice of the people that is InfoWars. So keeping places like this alive and afloat in the court of public opinion ultimately translates to people with real political power, which ultimately, hopefully, stops the elites from destroying the entire globe, which is what they will do if left to their druthers.
Exactly. So in closing, I want to get the elite to stop the destruction process. But I'm not naive. But if I weigh things, Musk has his brain chip, his universal basic income, things he's doing. But he's also against depopulation, against the forced inoculations, against censorship, and he's against depopulation. So what do you think of Elon Musk?
I think Elon's a mixed character. So there's aspects of Elon in terms of transhumanism and some promises that haven't been delivered that are cause for concern, Mars colonization, et cetera. But he has been an iconoclastic independent mind. He was right in being critical about the lockdowns. He was right in being critical of forced masking and forced inoculations. So, and he's right about Twitter needing to be returned to its free speech roots. So I think I see him as an independent iconoclastic voice where sometimes I agree with him, sometimes I don't. But I don't think he's the adversary that Bill Gates or George Soros or David Rockefeller is.
I agree with that. I mean, he understands that that system's failing. He's trying to build a new system.
Completely. Exactly. That's why he wants to go to Mars. I mean, he thinks that the system we have here is unsuccessful, and he sees Twitter as a failure and figures he can try to fix it. And I think what he's doing in that capacity is helpful and useful. He's also exposing how Twitter's board has no economic interest in Twitter. This is a problem of the managerial class. They've infiltrated the corporate boards. They've hijacked their control. That's why InfoWars always acted in an independent way that was the voice of its constituency, community, and its audience. Never had that problem. But it's the reason why Twitter has the problems it has. It is a board that's disconnected from its own audience, from its own consumer interest, from its own broader constituency and community of either investors or users. And so he recognizes there's a gap, tries to step in to cure it and fix it in a capitalistic way that would actually also restore certain aspects of freedom to the social sphere and the public space. So I think all of that is good that he's doing. I think there's areas to be critical and skeptical of him, but what he's doing in Twitter, I think, is net positive.
All right. In closing, Robert Barnes, constitutional lawyer, good friend of mine, great guy. What do you see happening in the midterms? Because if they stole the election a year and a half ago and they're trying to outlaw criticizing elections or questioning now, when used to the UN and the State Department ran around, you know, trying to control other elections and being the arbiter of it. And under their own rules, they're engaged in fraud here. If they already engaged in fraud a year and a half ago, what are they going to do now? What do you gut level? I know everything's in flux, but what do you think happens in the midterms What do you think happens into 2024?
I think the good news is I think ultimately populism prevails and the people win, that enough people are ready to respond to Revere's call, that we will be able to restore and keep American freedom and liberty alive and afloat really in the world.
So in closing, got cut off by break, finish your point. I just want to say this and your take on it. Whoever you are, no matter what color you are, where you came from, no one can deny historic developments and big changes are coming. And there's a very dystopian view the globalists have and a view that we can build that's much better. So we have to put that other world view out right now so people resonate with it and not just let the evil ones have the narrative. So in a few minutes here, closing comments, Robert Barnes.
Absolutely. I mean, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people he didn't exist. The greatest trick the system ever pulled is convincing people they cannot resist. And that was what lawfare against Alex Jones and InfoWars was all about. It was trying to beat people into submission, beat people into denying their own capacity, their own agency, their own ability to make a difference. And if anything we have seen in the last half decade is that the ordinary people can, in fact, make a change and usually are the ones to make that change. So as long as people continue to do it, just look at what has transpired within the last month. We have a corrupt Speaker of the House. We have a corrupt Republican leader who was secretly trying to force Trump to resign, as recently came out on secretly recorded phone calls with Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy. And we have a corrupt Republican Party that was so out of touch it was ready to go to a potential nuclear war with either Russia or China or both. And the ordinary person stepped into the gap. The ordinary person stepped up and led people with InfoWars and Alex Jones being at the tip of the spear, saying we don't need any war. We don't want any more war. We are not asking for or seeking any new war, especially one on behalf of George Soros and Klaus Schwab and David Rockefeller and Bill Gates and that crowd and the Hillary Clintons and Mitt Romneys of the world. And what was the consequence? The consequence was people like J.D. Vance, a key senator candidate, future senator from Ohio, heard it. People like Blake Masters, a future senator from Arizona, heard it. People like Eric Greitens, a potential future senator from Missouri, heard it. People like Joe Kent, a future congressman from Washington, heard it. And Donald J. Trump heard it. And what happened? Trump issued a statement that said, no more war. We need to be fighting for peace right now. And there should be peace right now. Why did that happen? That only happened because ordinary, everyday people made their voices heard through organizations like InfoWars, making a difference in the grassroots, making a difference in the court of public opinion that ultimately reaches our own representatives and would-be representatives. That is ultimately the only way we can make the world a better, safer, stronger, healthier place that protects freedom and liberty for all of us.
Absolutely. Let me close with this then. I go back to CNN. $300 million of investment, $100 million of infrastructure, fails in a month, and they didn't know it would fail. That doesn't make me feel confident, like, oh, look, my enemy's an idiot. It shows how they're totally disconnected. They're losing on every front, but they just don't stop attacking, and they keep doubling down. So how big is it that Netflix and Disney are in trouble because of their anti-human propaganda? And then CNN's completely destroyed, and still the globalists pour more money into the failure where they could just start a new thing. I mean, it's like once something's a total symbol of failure, why do they keep dumping money into it? It's very zombie-esque.
Well, it's someone that's losing on the battlefield like Ukraine is and just continues to say, well, let's pour in more weapons and more money and more weapons and more money when it won't change the results or the outcome. That they're losing on multiple battlefronts. They're losing on cultural hegemonic control and the loss of and Disney being exposed for the groomer institution it's really secretly been that a lot of people didn't know. Netflix being exposed for promoting wokeism rather than interesting, creative, useful content. And our political class and warmongering class and our press being exposed for the frauds and fakes and phonies that they are, while InfoWars stays alive because InfoWars reflects and represents the truest, deepest, best part of American freedom and liberty.
Man, I'm going to re-air this Sunday. Amazing. Robert, you got to come on more often. How do people find the different shows you do that are super popular? How do people find Robert Barnes?
Sure. The best place, one-stop shop, is vivabarneslaw.locals.com.
This is a collectible. It funds us, and we're selling it for way lower than everybody else is. You can go to InfoWarsStore.com to see this. Support free speech at InfoWars. Get the new limited edition InfoWars Gold Collectible InfoWars gold.com. We have teamed up with the nation's leading mint to bring you a new way to support InfoWars and free speech while owning a piece of history and real gold. It's a little gold bar. The new limited edition InfoWars gold collectible is minted in the form of a card that features a 24-karat gold in the center using proprietary technology. Only 25,000 limited edition InfoWars gold collectibles have been minted. And this is a one-time run of InfoWarsGold.com. And thank God these came in right when we needed the money, because I finally decided to do this like 4 months ago, and it finally just came in. Each one is authenticated using holographic technology. The same precious metals group recently sold 300,000 gold cards for $170 each. We are bringing you these collectible cards for just $129.95 to help us. And when you purchase it, you get a discount on the next one for $99.95, and the price goes down from there. And so when you buy three, you receive 50% off. This is the first ever run of this proprietary design and exclusive to InfoWars. The Mint was extremely excited that InfoWars would be making this product available to customers for the first time. The limited edition InfoWars Gold Collectible comes in cards that can be stacked in your wallet, drawer, or glove compartment for easy travel. And again, they're very collectible. People are going to love them. You're financing the American rebellion against the globalist. This is so historic. Be part of history, support InfoWars free speech, and stock up today at InfoWarsGold.com before we completely sell out of this limited run. This is the best way to support us and America and freedom and yourself today.